We think of silent night. We think of holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lays down his sweet head. And everything is just kind of calm and still. And we think of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, right? Like that's Christmas. It's peace, it's tranquil, it's friends, it's family, it's rest and respite and that sort of a thing. And, you know, again, thinking of Luke and the angels saying, on earth, peace on men on whom God's favor rests. And this evening, what we want to kind of do is tweak our perspective a little bit and see Christmas from a different angle. Because really, whenever peace is sought out, it means that peace is lacking. If we have to pursue peace, that means there's violence. That means that someone, somewhere, something is being violated. And whenever peace is pursued, conflict necessarily takes place. Because someone or something who is violent, who is inhibiting peace, is going to respond to pursuits of peace with violence. And that's what we see here in Revelation chapter 12. And Revelation chapter 12 is interesting. I want to spend just a moment talking about Revelation because it is an interesting book. And people talk a lot about, well, we need to interpret the Bible literally. And what's a literal interpretation of the book of Revelation? So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Revelation chapter 12. If not, no big deal. Just pay attention and trust I'm not lying to you. But when we think of interpreting Revelation literally, what we mean is Revelation is a literal recording of a literal vision that John literally saw. And our job is to then discern what does this mean. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, a great and wondrous sign appeared. And I've got a sign that I took a photo of. Some buddies of mine and I were hiking. We were going through the mountains in Rocky Mountain National Park in the USA. And there's this sign. It says, Goblins Forest, Stoves Only. Now, what in the world does that sign mean? Does it mean that there's just so many goblins, it's like a forest of goblins that you're about to walk into? But if you're a stove, it's cool because they like to cook things. You know? Or does it mean that it's a forest of trees like we would expect, but it's inhabited by goblins? And the only kind of toll that you can pay them to pass through their forest is to give them an oven. Or does it just simply mean that it's a forest in the Rocky Mountains, which is, you know, a protected land, and it's called Goblin's Forest for whatever reason, and you're not allowed to have open fires in order to preserve and protect the land from fire pits and ash and sparks causing wildfires and that sort of thing. We see a sign, and we literally understand that sign to indicate something else. And if we were to think that this sign means that's what a forest of goblins looks like, that's grammar. Wait, well done, Evans. If we think that's what it looks like, then we're going to be mistaken. We're going to be mistaken. And you can go ahead and strike the photo. I appreciate that, guys. So anyway, this great and wondrous sign appears, and we heard it read and we saw it wonderfully enacted, that this woman gives birth to a son who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. And this is a direct link back to Psalm 2 and how the Messiah was going to be a ruler who would rule the nations with an iron scepter. And what we're seeing is a vision. It's a sign of the birth of Christ. And we see this dragon who later on in the chapter says, you know, he is the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan who leads the whole world astray. We see him coming after. We see him attacking Christ. We see him attacking the people of God. And what I want us to think about this Christmas isn't just simply silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. But I want us to see Christmas as an incursion of peace into an otherwise violent and conflicted world. It's the arrival of peace in an otherwise violent and conflicted world. No matter which side of the socio-political coin you like to fall on, whether or not you think that modernism destroyed pre-modernism where people answered their mysteries with God, or modernism is better because human thought and the scientific process can lead us to the answers we need. If you prefer postmodernism or something else, if you look at the evils, the abuses of pre-modern Catholicism, the abuses of secular modernism, the abuses of capitalism, the abuses of socialism, no matter which way you look at it, what we see is abuse. And it's because the world is full of abusive people. Because there's this opponent, this serpent, this dragon, the sign, who leads the whole world astray. How is it that Christmas is this incursion of peace? Well, it's this incursion of peace because no longer must we be led astray. No longer must we be led astray. The Bible talks about how Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, that in Him the fullness of God dwells. And people will say, oh, I don't believe in God. And you know what? I might sit down over a cup of coffee and agree with you. How do you understand God? How do you define God? When you say you don't believe in God, perhaps the God you have in mind, I likewise don't believe in. But the God of the universe is the Christ-like God. And Jesus has come to take away our misunderstandings, to alleviate our deceptions, to give us the truth of who God is and what God is like. The God of the universe, the God we worship, the God of the Bible, isn't the caricature that so many people like to portray Him as being. He's not a God who's far off. He's a God who's here. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's not a God who just takes as this abusive tyrant. But He's a God who gives. He's a God who gives of Himself. He's the self-donating God. He's the God who gives grace and mercy and is patient and is kind and is loving. And it's through this revelation of who God is like in Christ that the devil's no longer able to lead others astray. It's this incursion of peace. And we see it in the Gospels where Jesus Himself and John the Baptist go around saying, repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. And earlier in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet. And there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And He will reign forever and ever. And He will reign forever and ever. This is Christ's kingdom. And again, just to reiterate what I was saying previously, in chapter 10, verse 7, it says, but in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as He announced to His servants the prophets. What is the mystery of God? Well, who is He? What's He like? How does He relate with us? And ultimately, Christ is the mystery of God embodied. How is it that the eternal, immortal, infinite God of the universe is here? With us. Near us. Loving us. Sharing with us. Caring for us. Healing us. Forgiving us. This mystery is accomplished in the birth of Jesus. God is the kind of God who comes, who sets His glory aside, lives with us. He's the kind of God who receives, is willing to receive His own wrath upon Himself for our sin. He's the kind of God who wants to change us and transform us and heal us. Heal us of the abusiveness. We can understand abuse in this way. Relationships are intended to be two ways, right? You give, and the other gives. So there's a giving and a receiving. An abusive relationship is one where there's never a giving back. There's never, I never give, I only receive, I only take. And so we can have abusive relationships with people, abusive relationships with things, abusive relationships with wealth, abusive relationships with power. Abusive relationships with substances. And that speaks something about our own nature and character. Christ has come. Say, I'm not a God who just strikes that down. I'm a God who's willing to receive that own striking down upon myself so that you can be forgiven. That's the kind of God I am. And that takes away the power of the devil, among other things. There's so many things we could say on that behalf. So what I want to do, I think it's appropriate this evening, is say, this Christmas, how do we respond to that? Do we sit back and continue to say, no, I don't believe in God? Or I can't agree to the God of the Bible? Are we going to maintain our perspective of God based on our own definition? Or are we going to step into the kingdom of Christ that is now, that is growing, and that will culminate at some point in time in the future? Will we, through faith in Christ, repentance of our sins, faith in Him, will we step into His kingdom? Will we no longer live under the rule of deception and ignorance, being led astray about God? Or will we step into the glorious freedom of knowing Him and being known by Him? Will we celebrate Christmas as just another silent night? Friends, family, mulled wine, and mince pies. Nothing wrong with any of that. Or will we celebrate Christmas and joining with Christ in His kingdom and ultimately in His victory? Let's have a word of prayer. Actually, no. There's a video we want to watch. And then there will be a song that is sung for us. During that time, I'd love us to just think and reflect about our concept of God. Do we allow Christ to define God, or do we continue to insist on defining God ourselves? And based on how Christ reveals God to us, will we be willing to place faith in Him, repent of the selfishness of the life that we have lived, and begin the process of following Christ in our life now?